My name is Krishna Kripa Das. I was invited to give class by Keshava Prabhu, in case you want to know why I'm giving class. I don't think I know anything more about Srimad Bhagavatam than the people who usually give class. I'm not here because I have a great estimation of my learning. But just because Keshava Prabhu invited me, and this community is very dear to me because I lived here from 94 to 2005. And it's an excuse to see Radha Shama Sundar before I go to New York tomorrow and Dublin on Friday and Mumbai on Monday and hopefully the Kirtan Mela in Mayapur on the 5th of March. So we're given quite a selection of verses to read by, spoken by three different personalities, with mostly very short purports. But the third purport is slightly longer than the others, and it's more of the focus of what I want to talk about. So I think it's also easier to chant, so maybe we could chant that one, is it? Which would be 21. I guess I could read the others. We could chant 21 together. Does that sound okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the 10th canto entitled the Summum Bonum, chapter 85. Lord Krishna instructs Vasudev. So text 19. Let's see. We've got to just read the English. Therefore, O friend of the distressed, I now approach your lotus feet for shelter. This is Vasudev speaking to Krishna. He's finishing. He's, as you know, if you've been coming the last few days, he's been speaking, so he's finishing up his prayers, basically, to his son, who he's now remembering is the personality of Godhead by the mercy of the sages. Therefore, O friend of the distressed, I now approach your lotus feet for shelter, the same lotus feet that dispel all fear of worldly existence for those who have surrendered to them. Enough, enough with hankering for sense enjoyment, which makes me identify with this mortal body and think of you, the Supreme, as my child. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami suggests that Vasudev condemns himself here with thinking of trying to gain special opulences because he is the father of the Supreme Lord. Thus Vasudev contrasts himself with Nanda, the king of Raja, who was satisfied with pure love of God and nothing else. Text 20. Vasudev continues, indeed, while still in the maternity room, you told us that you, the unborn Lord, had already been born several times as our son in previous ages. So that maternity room is actually Kamsa's prison. So we don't usually think of a prison as being a maternity room. But after manifesting each of these transcendental bodies to protect your own principles of religion, you then made them unmanifest, thus appearing and disappearing like a cloud. O supremely glorified, all-pervading Lord, who can understand the mystic, deluding potency of your opulent expansions? Purport. Lord Krishna was born to Vasudev and Devaki in their previous lives as Sutapa and Prishni. Later they again became his parents as Kasyapa and Aditi. This, then, was the third time they had appeared as their son. So that ends the prayers of Vasudev toward Krishna. Now, Shukadeva Goswami speaks a transitional verse, and then Krishna speaks to his father. So we can chant this verse together. Shishukavacha Akarnitam Pitur Vakyam Bhagavan Satta Bhagavan Satta Tarshabaha Pratyaha Prasharama Amra Prahasan Shlakshnaya Gira Shishukavacha Akarnyetam Pitur Bhakyam Bhagavan Sattva Tarshabha Patyaya Prasharyan Namra Prahasan Shlakshnaya Gira Shishakavacha Karnyetam Pritur Bhakyam Bhagavan Sattva Tarshabha Vityaya Prashrayanamra Prahasana Shlakshna Yagiram. Ladies. Shishukavacha Shukadev Goswami said, Akarnya, hearing Yatam in this manner, Pitu of his father, Bhakyam, the statement, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Satpatavishabha, the best of the Yadus. Pratyaha replied, Prasraya with humility, Anamra bowing his head. Prahasan, smiling broadly. Shlakshnaya, gentle. Girla, with a voice. A translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, having heard his father's words, the Supreme Lord, the leader of the Sattvatas, replied in a gentle voice as he bowed his head in humility and smiled. A purport by the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami describes what Lord Krishna thought after hearing his father glorify him. Vasudeva has been honored with the eternal role of my father, something even demigods like Brahma cannot aspire for. Therefore, he shouldn't be absorbed in thinking of my godly aspects. Moreover, his reverence greatly embarrasses me. It was to avoid this very situation that after killing Kamsa, I made a special effort to reinforce their pure parental love for me and Balaram. But now, unfortunately, the statements of these sages threaten to revive some of Vasudev's and Devaki's previous awareness of my majesty. Om Gyana Timurandasana Shlakaya Chakshunam Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Shmiti Bhaktivedanta Swami Nami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunivari Pasyata Adesha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Veda Viradhara Shri Vishani Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Vanshakalpa Pribhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Veva Cha Patitanam Pavanemyo Vajna Vebyo Mo Namah. So this is an interesting section. There's just a couple very short purports and this one slightly longer. So the first statement, Jiva Goswami is saying that that Vasudeva's condemning himself for trying to gain special opulences because he's the father of Krishna. But here, he's contrasting himself with Nanda, the king of Vraja, who's satisfied with pure love of God and nothing else. So as there Vasudeva's condemning himself, here Krishna's glorifying Vasudeva in, according to Jiva Goswami, he's thinking, well, he's my intimate relative, and here he is glorifying me in opulence. Something should be done about this. So we're seeing evidence of different rasas, actually. The rasa of parental affection, and also the rasa of servitorship, where one thinks himself is small and the Lord is great, and therefore he glorifies the Lord. So both these emotions exist within the personality of Vasudeva, and they come out at different times according to the circumstances. So originally, when Krishna appeared, he appeared in his four-handed form, and his Vasudeva and Devaki offered prayers to him on his appearance, realizing that he really was Vishnu, and that actually they'd wanted to have Vishnu as their son. Very intently, they performed austerities for thousands of years to get the benediction that the Lord would be their son. And he'd come, as was mentioned in the previous purport, he'd come in two times before us, Vamana would be the son of Aditi and Kasyapa, and Prishnigarbha, the son of Prishni and Sutapa. And so they have a long-standing relationship that's been going on. This is the third birth. Generally, our relationships only exist in this one life, these relationships based on the body. We can't say that we were had the same friends in our previous life, or the same parents, or the same spouses, or the same children. But here, this is they had the same Son, the personality of Godhead, throughout these three lives. But here, instead of thinking as the Lord as their child, he's offering so many prayers, and that was because the his knowledge, his awareness of the Lord's majesty was awakened by hearing the statements of the sages. So apparently, according to the circumstance, different kinds of relationships are awakened within one. I took some notes on this, so I want to make sure I don't miss anything. This little section is actually described in the summary, which in words that might add a little bit to our understanding. Having heard the visiting sages glorify Krishna, Vasudev ceased to regard him and Balaram as his sons and began praising their omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After glorifying his sons, Vasudev fell at Lord Krishna's lotus feet and begged him to drive away the conception that the Lord was his son. Instead, Lord Krishna restored that conception by instructing Vasudev in the science of Godhead. And upon hearing these instructions, Vasudev became peaceful and free from doubt. So we're in the midst of that. Krishna is going to begin his speech after this. So actually, so one thing we learn from Krishna's thinking about this, that he likes this parental love a lot more than he likes being regarded as the Supreme Lord and having people bow down and glorify him all the time. So, Prabhupada would explain how the relationship of accepting the God as son is superior to the idea of accepting God as master or accepting God as father. Basically, the son takes so much service from the father. But the mentality of the pure devotee is he doesn't actually want to take service from the Lord, but he wants to, out of affection, he wants to give service to the Lord. So if one accepts the Lord as son, one ends up rendering so much more service to the Lord than he would if he accepted the Lord as father. And therefore, it's actually a superior position because more service is being rendered and in a more intimate way. And it's actually sort of mind-boggling for me, to considering my position, to think about how much service our parents render to us. I mean, I don't have any children, so I'm not on that end of doing it. But you see, like especially with the mother and the child, in the beginning, the child is like completely dependent on the mother. The mother has to meditate on the child like 24 hours a day. and so much thought, so much care is there on the part of the parents toward the child. So it's a much more service is rendered and much more intimacy in the parental mood, and therefore Krishna actually, as Jiva Goswami is revealing, is actually upset that Vasudeva his relationship has been spoiled by these sages. It's funny because usually the sages are the people who are enhancing your devotion to God. But here, Krishna's almost chastising the sages for reminding Vasudeva of his opulences and hampering his intimate relationship. So you could say that actually Krishna wants to promote the most intimate relationship that we're capable of having with him. And although both tendencies were there, in Vasudev, he appreciated Vasudev as a father more than Vasudev as another person offering prayers and glorifying him. So, of course, this brings us to the idea of the different rasas. So, basically, it's described in the Nectar of Devotion. There's five different rasas we can have. Actually, there's two different words, by the way. There's rasa, which is the different kinds of relationships we have with the Lord. And then there's the word rasa, which is a kind of dance. And the rasa with a long A is the dance that Krishna does for the gopis in the enacting of his conjugal rasa with a short A with them. So it makes a big difference, actually, just a long A or short A. It's a completely different thing you're talking about. And therefore, Prabhupada had us put the diacritics in the book so we would learn how to pronounce the Sanskrit properly. Apparently, one time, Lokanath Swami's, one of his disciples wrote a book about pronouncing the Sanskrit, and I was talking about that topic with him, and I talked with Gopi Pranadana about it. You know, so many people mispronounce the Sanskrit, and Gopi Pranadana Prabhu was saying, yeah, they should have somebody go to each center, you know, and instruct the people how to pronounce the Sanskrit. And so I was telling this to Lokanath Swami, and he said, well, you go to so many centers, why don't you tell people how to pronounce the Sanskrit? So I said, well, you know, I don't really know how to pronounce the Sanskrit that well myself. But I so more or less agree that whatever I did know, I would share with people. So so there's five rasas, and the rasa dance is part of the conjugal rasa. Krishna has with the gopis with a long A. So at any rate, the first relationship is basically awe and reverence and neutrality. And then the master-servant relationship, dasya. And so this offering of prayers to the Lord as being superior is generally part of dasya. One has sentiments of the Lord as being superior in the neutrality, but actually offering prayers and glorifying that Lord in that way is a kind of service. So it sort of indicates some dasya there. And then the parental, that's after friendship, which is the next one. And friendship is we're very much familiar with, because the first book we really want to run into is Bhagavad Gita, and we're introduced to this rasa of friendship right there. Krishna is the friend. Sorry, Arjuna is the friend of Krishna. Krishna is the friend of Arjuna. So this idea of sometimes the intimate relationship being covered up by manifestation of Krishna's opulence. Actually, we learn about that in Bhagavad Gita, because although completely Krishna, Arjuna accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord in the 10th chapter. In the 11th chapter, when Krishna goes all out and shows how like all the universes are situated in him, and all the planets and the demigods are there in his universal form, and he's like devouring all the people on the battle, and they're getting smashed between his teeth, and it's very dramatic. Then Arjuna becomes really conscious of you know, Krishna's opulence. He says, as soon as Krishna says, I'm the source of all spiritual and material rewards, everything emanates from me, the wise know this perfectly, engaged in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. He says, yes, I accept you. You are Pram Brahma. You are the supreme Brahman. And you're Pram Dhamma. You're the supreme abode. And all the sages say this about you. So he accepts that. But then when he sees it right in front of him, he's like completely overcome. And he says, thinking of you as my friend, I've rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I've dishonored you many times as we relax, lay in the same bed or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all these offenses. And then he goes into glorifying Him. You are the Lord of this cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. And so, just, it's the very same sort of thing. He completely forgets about his friendly relationship and offers all these prayers to Krishna. And so, after that, he asked to see the four-handed form of Vishnu, and then his normal two-handed form. And then it describes how he was restored to his previous state. Having spoken thus to Arjuna, Krishna has displayed his real four-armed form, and then at last showed him his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. When Arjuna saw Krishna in his original form, he said, "O Janardana, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and restored to my original nature." So, this idea is brought up in the Nectar of Devotion that there's, although we have a primary rasa with Krishna, that other rasas can temporarily overcome it. It's called overlapping of the rasas. And so this is a case where the rasa of awe and reverence and the rasa of dasya or servitude basically is overcoming Arjuna's friendship just very temporarily, just for a few minutes in this dialogue. As here in this instance, the parental feelings of Vasudeva have abated after he heard these prayers, and he's glorifying Krishna in so many words. So what you'll hear in the next few days is how Krishna speaks in such a way as to diminish his opulences in Vasudeva's mind, and so that his natural parental affection will revive. So evidence that Krishna likes these intimate rasas better is provided in the nice, very beautiful section in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, where the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance are being described. There's a section where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing how Krishna thought before coming as Lord Chaitanya. When he came as Krishna, he presented himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he encouraged people to surrender unto him. But he wasn't very successful in getting a lot of people. And so he just decided to come in another strategy, especially because the age had become more degraded. But he also, basically, he demonstrated his intimate pastimes, but he didn't really recruit people so much into those intimate pastimes. And therefore, he was thinking in this way: all the universe is filled with a conception of my majesty, but love weakened by a sense, that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the Lord by his inherent nature reveals himself before his devotees according to their inherent devotional service. And the Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although people generally worship the Lord with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when the devotee thinks of him as a pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto him with such natural affection. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of Godhead is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires and is not mixed with any sort of fruit of action or empirical speculation. That's like that anyabilashita sunyam ganam karmadiyavitamana kloyena krishnu shilam bhakyudana. It is pure and natural love of God, spontaneously aroused in the absolute stage. This devotional service is executed in a favorable atmosphere, free from material affection. Basically, this is one contribution of this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that we hear the Lord has these intimate relationships of friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love, and that actually he's promoting them and he likes them, and he's trying to encourage us to take part in them. So we don't really encounter this in the Judeo-Christian teachings that we generally encounter in this society. And it's a great contribution. And it's Srila Prabhupada's personal contribution that he took this amazing, esoteric, but relishable spiritual knowledge that was wonderfully presented by the Acharyas, Rupa Goswami and Sathars. He took it out of India and spread it all over the world. And it's like so amazing that, like, you know, he would get the devotees would be distributing like Krishna book and like the shopping centers in like North Dakota. You know, some people have like no clue about any of this, like, amazing. Even that God is a person, one to speak of, you know, he can be his friend or his conjugal lover. Like, just this most amazing confidential spiritual knowledge, he's just giving it to anyone. So then the question is, how do we actually get this, this intimate relationship with Krishna? Basically, the idea is that it's revealed as the devotional service progresses, that there's these nine different stages of devotional service, and by performing the sadhana strictly, you go through one stage after another. Actually, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, I don't have the exact quote, but he makes the point that Krishna prema, it doesn't come into being without going through the stages. It's not like you leap from bhajana kriya to bhava, you know, without going through the, you know, as the sahajiyas would hope, you know. But only if you're like Mars Pratapudra's son and Lord Chaitanya like personally embraces you, you can get Krishna prema like that. But that's generally not the process. The idea is that by performing the sadhana, the principle of sadhana is that we fix our mind on the personality of Godhead and our mind becomes purified. Krishna is supremely pure. Actually, Arjuna glorifies him, Pavitram Paraman Bhavan, you are the supreme pure. And his holy name is pure. There's that beautiful verse, Nama Chintamani, Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnashura Nitya Mukta Abhinito Nama Namino, glorifies the holy name as being filled with nectarian spiritual rasas. Purna, complete, Shuddha, pure, Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated, Abhinito Nama Namino, non-different from Krishna himself. So by performing the sadhana, we're directly associating with the personality of Godhead is non-different from his devotional service, non-different from his holy name. And this, that we actually have the love of God is already in our heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanaya Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karya Yudai. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, the love of God is already in the heart. Sadhya Kabanaya, it's not to be gained from an outside source. Shravanadi, when one engages in devotional service, beginning with hearing. Shuddha Chitte, one's consciousness is purified. Karya Yudaya, that love becomes manifest. So there's different different descriptions of devotional service given throughout the Vedic literatures, and sometimes it's summarized in just a very few verses, the essence of devotional service. One of these places that I was thinking of recently, which you don't really hear about much or read about much, is in the Brahma Samhita. But it's a nice summary by Krishna himself. After Brahma offers all these amazing prayers we chant two of them every day. Vainam Kvanam Tamadavinda Dalaya Taksham, etc. After offering these amazing prayers, then Krishna speaks a few verses of his own. So this is, I think, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's translation, right? So it's a little bit erudite, so you have to tolerate that. But here goes. Brahma Samhita 5:58. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent, unalloyed devotion characterized by love of God, love for God, is awakened toward Krishna, the beloved of all souls. 59. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. So that's such an amazing summary verse, isn't it? The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. 60. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, than whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. 61. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me, by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. So these are the first four of Krishna's summary of sadhana bhakti. The idea is that by performing the sadhana bhakti, your heart becomes purified, and the other advanced stages of bhakti, including bhava, that's another one. You know, there's bhava and bhava. Bhava means a state of being or a spiritual emotion. And bhava means material existence, but it also means becoming. And it's interesting why material existence is called bhava, which means becoming. Because right now we have one body, but we're working on our next body. So we're becoming something else. So as we transmigrate from one body to another, we're becoming a fish, we're becoming a human being, we're becoming a demigod. We're always becoming something, and therefore material existence is called bhava. Bhava is a state of being. Whatever state of being one remembers at the time of death, he will attain without fail. Or emotional relationship described in Nectar of Devotion. So, at any rate, those are some thoughts and different ideas in these verses. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes.
So, when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, at least in Lord Chaitanya's line, we aren't aware of the majesty of the Lord. Now, according to the prescriptions for practicing bhakti, even in advanced stages, one still reads the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Mm. So, Prabhupada did, you know, and all the previous acharyas did. And then we get sections like this, where, you know, there's a, you know, one understands the majesty of the Lord, you know. So it seems like, well, how does one maintain, you know, this kind of intimacy free from this majestic aspect of the Lord? And, you know, it's a little inconceivable, you know, how powerful the yoga maya can be in the wake of these, you know, kind of checkpoints, you know, that just kind of come as you just go through Shastra.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, like in Gadadhar Pandit was reading with, you know, Lord Chaitanya every day, and he was going through the whole Bhagavatam, right? And but he was, you know, in a relationship of love with the Lord. He was crying tears of ecstasy so much that the pages were damaged and the book couldn't be used anymore. But then so many of the descriptions are actually of the opposite situation of the Lord. Yeah, well, this level, the emotions in the state of like advanced devotion are very mysterious, actually, because we see on like in descriptions of different feelings one has in an advanced devotional state, there'll be pride and there'll be humility, right? So how can pride and humility be symptoms of the same thing? It seems like they're completely, you know, divergent, you know, but they're both devotional symptoms, you know? So, you know, and then you have the advanced devotee is thinking he has no devotion, right? And that everybody else has devotion, you know? Well, that's also very inconceivable. How can somebody actually, you know, actually feel that way? So, I'm not sure that we can actually understand exactly how these things are going on, you know, like how that situation is. But one thing is, as we learn from this particular purport, which I temporarily lost my place in, it says, Jiva Goswami says, basically, the Krishna made a special effort to reinforce their pure parental love. You know, because after he killed Kamsa, that really did show that he was the personality of Godhead, right? Even Indra had difficulty dealing with Kamsa. And so it was very clear that he was the Lord at that point. But then after that, you know, he went to Gurukul, you know, like a good boy, like, you know, to please his parents, and he acted more like their kid and tried to work on that. So he said that, so here Krishna is saying that, well, I make a special effort, you know. So Krishna values the intimacy of the relationship, so if he sees the devotee carried away by opulence, he uses his, you know, omniscience and omnipotence and whatever he has at his disposal to create a situation that brings it back, you know. So, yeah, that's the best I can do, I think, without that. That requires a more highly elevated person to actually answer in a superior way. Did you have a point regarding that, Madan Mohan? You always have some interesting point to make, consistent with some aspects of the literature, which we're not always aware of.
It was on the same point that when Krishna showed the universal form to Mother Yasoda.
All right, that's true, another point, huh?
And then Prabhupada was talking about that. He said that Mother Yasoda said to Krishna right after that, don't do that again.
That's great.
And then there's another situation similar to this, is when Uddhava was talking to Nanda Maharaj that, you know, actually Krishna's not your son. And Nanda Maharaj more or less says, you think we don't know that? It's just overshadowed by the parental affection. So in the same way, the devotee, he may think, Krishna, you can do all that, but not get affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, yes, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do the creation. Somebody's got to do all that. But it doesn't affect your personality. Mm. It's so sweet.
And you see, even like the gopis who are celebrated as having the most intimate relationship with Krishna, from time to time, they make it very clear that they know he is the Supreme Lord. And, you know, sometimes get on his case anyway. So it's curious. It's there, and especially when the devotees get in a jam, you know, and they don't have anyone to turn to, then they realize that Krishna's the only person to turn to. They realize he's the supreme protector, you know, and that comes out throughout Krishna book, no matter what their intimate relationship is. As soon as there's a forest fire and a demon or something, Krishna. Yes.
Was Krishna embarrassed? It said something like that, Jiva Goswami.
Jiva Goswami reveals.
So he put his head down and he. How does it say? Is it text 21 purport?
Yeah, in the purport it says, therefore he shouldn't be absorbed in thinking of my godly aspects. Moreover, his reverence greatly embarrasses me. It was to avoid this very situation that after killing Kamsa, I made a special effort to reinforce their pure parental love. And it's described in the verse itself, having heard his father's words, the Supreme Lord, leader of the Satvatas, replied in a gentle voice as he bowed his head in humility and smiled. So... And his smiling is also a feature of his personality, you know. He smiles in Bhagavad Gita, he's described as smiling. When he says, Govinda, I shall not fight, you know. Smile before speaking. It's a knowing smile because he knows everything that's going on with the devotee. So, I guess we can end here. There's nothing else. Thank you for maintaining nicely the worship of Radha Sundar here and the other deities. It's always a great joy for me to come here. And in none of the places I stay do I actually have Radha Krishna deities. I'm not in New York, not in Newcastle, England, and not in Gainesville. So I actually should come here and see there some of the most beautiful Radha Krishna deities in the entire movement right here. It's great. So I'm very thankful to all the people who contribute to this maintaining the worship here by doing practical service and giving donations and just coming and singing and dancing with them. I was here on their appearance. I think Radha asked me 2000, wasn't it? Very beautiful. So, it's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.